Shekinah means Yahweh. Yahweh is God's personal name, you could call it in Hebrew. Yahweh is my strength. So this morning, we're going to understand that when we believe God is our strength and trust Him in life's difficulties, we will see how God shows Himself to be strong in our life. So far, things have gone pretty well for Hezekiah. After the death of his father, Ahaz, who tried to turn Israel away from God, Hezekiah had great success in bringing the people back to God. He opened the temple doors. He consecrated the priests and the Levites. They cleaned out the temple. They consecrated it. They put all the right furniture back into it. They began the worship again. And the response of the people was overwhelming. They all desired to serve God once again. But now we come upon Hezekiah's first real test of faith and how he responds to an attack, not just on the city of Jerusalem, but also an attack on God. As we read the passage, the people literally were insulting his God. And Hezekiah is going to show us what active faith looks like. And why I say active faith is because a lot of people claim to have a faith. Right? They say, well, I have faith in God. But when difficulties come, it seems to have no validity. They don't seem to respond to what they claim to believe. So this morning, Hezekiah shows us what faith actually looks like when we apply it and when we believe what God says and how it works out in our own life. So what is faith in our strong God? If God is our strength as well, what does faith in our strong God look like when you and I are threatened by the temptations or the attacks that we get from people who doubt God's existence or doubt God's power in our life? So he's going to show us how to live an active faith here in chapter 32. Verse 1 begins, after all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah. He laid siege to the fortified cities, thinking to conquer them for himself. This is not what you would expect to read, right? After all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done, God blessed him some more. Isn't that what we expect to read? Isn't that what we think we should read? As opposed to, after he had done so faithfully, all of a sudden he's got this great challenge in his life. But see, that's not the way life works, does it? Life doesn't always work that way, because God sets us up for tests, even in our own life. And the Apostle Peter actually warns God's people in 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exaltation. I wish I had a dollar for every time a Christian said to me after trials going on in their life, why is this happening? Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, as though such strange things are happening to you. Are you not following me? Okay, you are following me. Good. Like, it says it right in the Bible. Don't be surprised when tough times happen. And what happens when tough times happen? Why is it happening to me? Right? We all do it. But Peter says, well, since Christ suffered, his followers also are going to suffer trials and tests, as we just read to the kids this morning, right? So Hezekiah was not being punished for any sin, as so we often wrongly think, even in our own lives. He was being tested. So let's stop being surprised when we go through life's difficulties or that God is punishing us for something. Hezekiah models for us that spiritual attacks can come after spiritual successes in our life. We need to be aware of that. We should always be aware of it, in the back of our minds. You know, things are going great. You know, don't be an Eeyore, but just have this little pocket back in the back of your mind saying, things are going really well. I need to be careful. Okay? I need to be careful. I need to be sensitive to God. I need to just be watch what might be going on. Peter also wrote in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world." And so we're not alone in this regard. You know, thankfully, our enemy is not omnipresent. And so these kinds of attacks are temporal, but they are very real, and they are spiritual attacks, so we need to be ready spiritually, prepared spiritually for them. So this is when our faith is tested, and we need to see if it's actually active, it's real. So Hezekiah proceeds to do what? To take all measures to withstand the attacks that he was receiving. If you and I lived in Texas right now, and we knew there was a hurricane headed our way, and we said, well, all I can do is pray about it, and never covered our windows or locked away our patio furniture or just stood on the front porch praying that we wouldn't get hurt, we would all be declared lunatics, right? That's crazy. You got to do something, right? You got to do what you can. Well, Hezekiah is going to pray, but he's also going to take all practical measures to defend his people and his city. And as a king of God's people, Hezekiah knows he needs the people's help if they are to reduce their losses or even better, survive and become victorious as a people of God. So what's the first thing Hezekiah did? What's the first thing he does? He gathers a support network, doesn't he? Verse 2 and 3. He consults with his officials and his military staff about strategic ways we can slow down the Assyrians. They decide to block off the water from the springs outside the city so that the incoming army will have limited or no access to fresh water. The city and military leaders enlist the army and the people to be prepared for attacks by repairing broken sections of walls, building another wall, fixing some terraces, and so on. So if an attack is coming, you take all practical measures that you can do to withstand attacks. And so you do what you can practically. And just as there are practical preventative measures you can take when a storm is coming, so there are practical preventative measures that you and I can take for spiritual attacks. We all need a support network of Christian community to enable us to stay strong in the Lord. People who are close enough to us to show us our own weaknesses, our own breaches in the walls that need strengthening. People who will help us grow strong so that it'll make it harder for the enemy to break through through our faith. A good spiritual offense is a good spiritual defense, right? Vice versa. And if you and I are weak in spending our time with God and His Word and prayer, if fellowship with other believers is minimal, or if we expose ourselves to godless, self-centered media and friends and over again, we are unprepared, right? We are unprepared for the subtle spiritual attacks that Satan uses to draw us away from God. And so there are many practical steps that you and I can take to strengthen our spiritual defenses from spiritual attacks, because unlike Hezekiah here, they usually don't come announced. So Hezekiah knows Sennacherib is knocking on the doors and he's coming, right? I mean, you don't get Facebook messages or text messages or emails saying at 9:47 a.m. today, you are going to be tempted. I don't get those messages, and I'm guessing you don't either. But we do know we're going to face temptations of some kind probably every day. So at some point in the day, particularly at the beginning of the day, maybe we're spending time with God, we can pray. 1 Corinthians 10:13 and other verses to ask God, that Lord, help us be prepared for the temptations that might come our way so that we can stand up under them. Or read through Ephesians 6 and so on. But we need to be prepared for when they come. So Hezekiah takes some obvious practical ways they can defend themselves, but he also strengthens himself and his people with the truth of the Word of God in verses 6 through 8. So Hezekiah gathers the leaders, military leaders for the most part, I'm guessing, who later are going to repeat Hezekiah's words to their people. And he says to them, he says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid of the scourge because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him, for there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us in fight our battles. And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah the king of Judah said to them. Hezekiah was quoting scripture. Did any of that sound familiar to you? I would hope it did. Joshua 1:6, be strong and courageous, right? For you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to your fathers, to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. This is God speaking to Joshua. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. And that wasn't the first time God said those words. Matter of fact, he had said those same words to Moses. Deuteronomy 32:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, the Canaanites, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. But there was even somebody else in a more recent past, Hezekiah, a former Israelite king, said to his son, who would be king one day, in 1 Chronicles 22:12, David said to Solomon, only the Lord give you discretion and understanding and give you charge over Israel so that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper if you are careful to observe the statutes and the ordinances of the Lord commanded Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be discouraged. So Hezekiah is actually quoting scripture to strengthen his people. And then he says something interesting. He says, for there is a greater power with us than with him. That's another portion of scripture. He's actually referencing Elisha the prophet. Elisha the prophet and his servant Gehazi are surrounded by the Aramean army. They literally come to Elisha's house. They surround the house, and Gehazi says to him, what are we going to do? Elisha says to him, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. See what Hezekiah is quoting? And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Hezekiah knows these things. Hezekiah knows the word of God. And there are all kinds of passages where it says the Lord will give his people to fight their battles for them. So Hezekiah is encouraging the people with what? Truth. The truth of the word. And he's reminding them of what God says is true. Because when Sennacherib comes, guess what he's going to do? He's going to attack God. He's going to attack what Hezekiah believes. He's going to attack what the people believe about God. He's going to say all kinds of things against what God's word says. So, we have to know what the word of God says so that we can identify the lies that point, that claim, right, the word is not true. And Satan loves to use that. When we experience temptation or a severe trial, do we fall apart? And if we do, I can guarantee you it's because we're not reminding ourselves of what the Word of God says. We go, oh, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Well, hang on, what does the Word of God say? The Spirit of God will bring to our minds Scripture, because He's our teacher, that we need for the trial or temptation. But if we're not filling our minds with Scripture, how is He going to bring something to our mind? I got nothing here. I'm sure at times he's saying to us, right? Where's that verse? Where's that verse, right? But if we're not filling our minds with verses of scripture, you know, we won't bring them up when we're facing difficulties. Our memory verse for August has been Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of us may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. What a great passage. You know, we need to be encouraged by each other daily so that we won't be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, because sin is deceitful. And if Scripture strengthens us, then we obviously need to be exposed to it as much as we possibly can, because we are exposed to all kinds of stuff all the time that is lies. Right? News, politicians, even education at times, our culture, other religions, all these things contradict the Word of God. And we're exposed to it all the time. We don't realize how much we're inundated by it. That's why we need to have the truth of the Word of God inside us. And after Hezekiah literally quoted Scripture, we read the people gained confidence from what he said. Now, he didn't downplay the threat of the Syrians. He said they had a vast army. He just tried to show his people that God is bigger than any threat that may come across. And so as Sennacherib's officers approach Jerusalem, we hear the way they try to scare off Hezekiah and his people. And you're listening to what he's saying. And if you're familiar with the Word of God, you should be thinking, this isn't anything new. This is anything new at all. He's just doing the same thing Satan's been doing for all kinds of time, since the Garden of Eden. So knowing that he often uses the same tactics helps us anticipate the enemy's methods against us. Like the serpent with Eve, Sennacherib's spokesman tries to do what? He tries to cast doubt on the Word of God. So this is why Hezekiah strengthened his people with the Word of God first, so that when the lies come, and they always will, you're ready for them. So Sennacherib, on what are you basing your confidence that you remain in Jerusalem under siege? When Hezekiah says, the Lord, our God, will save us from the hand of the king of Syria, he's misleading you to let you die of hunger and thirst. Did he not himself remove the gods, high places, and altars, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, you must worship before one altar and burn sacrifices on it? See, they sought to cast doubt on what Hezekiah said about God. And so he tries to use God's words, actually, against the people. Of course, they are in error because, well, God doesn't accept worship on any altar, right? He only accepts worship in the one place. This is why Hezekiah got all those altars torn down. And see, the Assyrians know a little bit, but not enough, right? And so that's what the enemy often uses. He takes a little bit of Scripture, and if we're not familiar enough with it, he twists it to tempt us or to mislead us away from trusting God. The Assyrians believed their God was more powerful than anyone else's God based on what you saw and experienced. Interesting, right? In the sense of, look at our track record so far. Has anybody else beat us yet? We have a winless streak going. But there are no such things as other gods at all, is there? There's only one God, and he's Israel's God. And then when the enemy gets people to question themselves and their belief, what's he try to do? He tries to intimidate with fear, verses 13 to 15. So he rattles off their success rank. All these victories means our God's bigger than your God. Who of all the gods, verse 14, of these nations that my predecessor destroyed has been able to save his people from me? How then can your God deliver you from my hand? Well, there is no other God. The only reason you won is because you're bigger than everybody else. Right? It had nothing to do with gods. Now, do not let Hezekiah deceive you and mislead you like this. Do not believe in him, for no God of any nation nor kingdom has been able to deliver his people from my hand or the hand of my predecessors. How much less your God will deliver you from my hand? Well, that sounds a lot like Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 3. Right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right? No God can deliver you from this. And so God hears all these words. And so all these words are going to come back to haunt Sennacherib one day, aren't they? And then because Satan is usually successful with lies and intimidation, he just does it again. So verse 16 to 17, more lies, they speak further against the Lord, they speak against Hezekiah. We read they were insulting God. Again, saying God is not capable of delivering you. Notice how many times we read the word deliver, or say deliver, deliver, deliver in that passage. And then more intimidation, verses 18 and 19. They actually spoke Hebrew. Said, there's a fuller account of this in Isaiah 36, 37. And they use Hebrew to speak threats and scare the people. Because if you don't know what they're saying, it doesn't bother you as much, right? Especially if you speak in their language. But now they speak Hebrew, they're attacking directly. And it says, they made more threats to terrify them and make them afraid. And so they spoke about God as if he were any other God, or any other God that hands have made, which is really ironic, right? Because the Assyrians are trusting in a God that they had made. There's no such God as Nisroch. We'll see his name show up in Isaiah in just a few minutes. But that's the name of the God that they worship. See, the Lord God is not a human invention. He is Yahweh, the only God, the self-existing God, always has been, always will be around, always wins, God. Period. Right? Thank you. So don't let Satan's lies dissuade you from the power of God to rescue and answer your prayers. Anticipate the enemy's going to use lies. He's going to use intimidation because that's the way he always works. Always has, always will. It's not even anything new. But we need to be more ready for it than we are. The reason why he does it all the time is because he's often successful. And that's the second part. So, Hezekiah does all he can practically and wisely, but he also entrusts the situation with God. He prepared himself defensively. Sorry, he only prepares himself basically defensively. He's getting ready for the attack. Which is kind of interesting because this is how Paul says we are to withstand the enemy in Ephesians 6 when he talks about the spiritual armor. They're all defensive weapons, ways to protect ourselves, our minds, except for the word of God, which is our only offensive weapon. That and prayer. Right? The word of God and prayer are only offensive weapons. And so what does Hezekiah model for us here in verses 20 and 23? We need to pray. Yes, we need to pray, and we need to watch God's word. Let's go to Isaiah. So let's go to Isaiah 37, which is a fuller account of the whole passage. Isaiah 37, verses 36 to 38. So here in the Chronicles, in chapter 32, 20, we read that Hezekiah and Isaiah cried out in prayer. And over in Isaiah, there's a very long section where Hezekiah prayed, and Isaiah prayed, and in Isaiah got an answer from God. And then they saw what God did. And the way God works is God always works in his own way, doesn't he? God works in his own way. In Isaiah 37, verse 36, then the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. And when the people, the Israelites, got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. So in Isaiah's account, after the prayer, God gave Isaiah this message of confidence, which he spoke to Hezekiah. See, Hezekiah never attacked, did he? He never attacked Sennacherib. Instead, God worked it out in his own way. Can you imagine? You know, one day you're worried about what's going to happen. The Assyrians, they're right there. Next morning you wake up, the army's dead. You never fired a shot. No arrows, no nothing. So distraught was Sennacherib that they went back to Assyria, shaking their heads in disbelief, I'm sure. Why didn't our God help us? I'm sure that's what they asked. How could Israel win without shooting an arrow or throwing a stone? You know, how can this be? God does it in a way in which you can't explain it from a human perspective. It has to be of God. No other explanation. And it says, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp, withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. He never fought another battle. Matter of fact, we have some of their records. The Assyrians left behind a lot of records. And apparently, Sennacherib spent most of his time praying in the temple of his god Nisroch, basically probably asking, why did we not have victory? And some time later, we don't know when, verse 38, one day while he was worshiping in the temple of his god Nisroch, his sons, Adrammelech and Sherezer, cut him down with a sword, and they escaped to the land of Azarath, to Ararat, and Esarhaddon and his son succeeded him as king. See, the problem was Sennacherib was so distraught over this loss, he basically didn't do anything after that. And his sons were tired of dad not doing anything and basically assassinated him so they could kind of get things going up again. But not only does God do things in his own way, he does it in his own time, doesn't he? Sometimes he does it quickly, like here. Wonderful, amen. We love it when that happens, right? Sometimes it's not the next day, or the next week, or the next month. Sometimes it takes time for God to direct and answer our prayers. But when he does, he always does it for the same reason, it's so he gets the glory. See, back in 2 Chronicles 32, 22, and 23, we read this. So the Lord saved Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and from the hand of all the others. He took care of them on every side, and many brought offerings to Jerusalem for the Lord, and valuable gifts for Hezekiah, king of Judah. From then on, he, Hezekiah, was highly regarded by all the nations. So what happened here? The people worshiped God, because God did this amazing thing, and they gave him credit. And the nations grew in respect of Hezekiah, because they're all superstitious like Sennacherib. Because they all had the same mentality. You know, we can only beat you so long as our God is strong enough. That was their mentality. And so God uses that mentality to show Israel he is the only God and he can do all these things. And so even the nations responded with respect to Hezekiah. This becomes another opportunity for Hezekiah to give glory to God, but he falters here. We'll talk about this in a couple of weeks, because he's not perfect either. But at this point, his prayer and his trust in God with some practical ways of defending himself and his people, you know, physically, materially, spiritually, enabled them to gain victory in the Lord's strength. And when it comes to spiritual attacks, we need to make sure we don't let our guard down after spiritual successes. Right? The words from 1 Peter 5, be on the alert. Be ready, which is our theme this year, be on the alert, be ready. The enemy is always prowling around. Hezekiah knew the word of God. He used it to strengthen the people and their faith. He listened to the prophet Isaiah. If we were to read Isaiah 36, 37, Isaiah was significantly involved in the life of Hezekiah. He listened, obviously, to Moses and Joshua and David and all in the word of God. And the word of God is our weapon, is it not? The word of God is our weapon in spiritual attacks. And God will take care of us on every side as well, because he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He dwells in us through his Spirit. And that phrase, I'm sure, made you think of 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in us than is he that is in the world. You and I, who know Christ as our Savior, we are the children of God. We will become children of God when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross alone for our sins. And we believe by faith that the same God who raised Jesus from the dead will also bring us to himself after we die. We know we are his. Jesus says of us in John 15, 27, he says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these verses of confidence. If the word of God is not true, if the assurance of your love for us is not true, if these words that Jesus claimed is not true, then we can have no confidence whatsoever in your word, Father. But I thank you that you speak these words to us so that we believe them and we act on them. And when we act on them, we see the validity of your word. I thank you for the stories in the word of God that encourage us. When we are in Jehoshaphat was in a different situation, a similar situation, but he prayed, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And Lord, sometimes we find ourselves in those kinds of situations. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We do what we can, like Hezekiah here. We do some practical things. We make sure we're prepared spiritually. But in the long run, all we can do afterwards is pray and watch you work. Lord, I thank you for the different times in our lives where we've done that, where we've done what we can, and we prayed and we saw you work. We praise you for it. But Lord, maybe right now, as we're thinking about some other stuff going on in our life, or our family's life, or our close friend's life, Lord, you know, they've done some good stuff, they've made some practical decisions, they're spiritually sensitive, but now they're just watching and praying, or we're watching and praying. Father, help us to continue trusting you. Our call to worship, Isaiah 40, when we trust you, you bore us on eagle's wings. Young men, you give us strength when we wait upon the Lord. Help us do that this morning and every day. Help us be spiritually sensitive, spending time in your word, giving the Spirit of God lots of ammo in which to help us defend the attacks that come our way. And help us not to be so naive to think they're not coming, but to be ready, not paranoid, but ready, to say, okay, I recognize that's from the enemy. Here's what the word of God says. Lord, help us to do that. Thank you, Lord, for this morning and this passage dealing with Hezekiah.